Welcome back, everybody. It's time. That time, your favorite time of the week for True Crime on Easy Street.
You still have that candy in your mouth?
No, I finished the candy.
Okay, good. That was annoying as shit.
I ate a piece of candy
during slowly, the mic check.
Slowly, and savored every bite right in my microphone, right straight to Scott's headphones.
Not Scott, who coughs the whole podcast with all the noise.
Doesn't cough until we go. We're ready to record.
I had forgotten about it until you guys just brought it up, and now I'm going to do it the whole damn time.
Probably.
Yeah, well, that was inevitable. We didn't jinx anything.
That's right. My name is Kelly Turner, and I'm not a doctor.
Scott Wright, mediocre journalist.
Katie Givens, not a lawyer.
All right. Where are we, Katie, in law school? Where are you? How far away
so
are we?
This episode
is really bothering you.
It tears me up.
As this episode drops, will be my first week back in class.
Okay.
For this new semester. And this semester, including this semester, I have 4 more semesters.
Okay. It's TikTok.
So a year and a half straight through?
Yeah. So it's this fall semester, spring semester, summer semester, and then 1 more fall semester.
Okay.
TikTok. Told you.
And then I can take the bar February 2026.
All right. So we've got until then to come up with some new introduction for you at the beginning of the podcast.
Yeah. I don't know what to do with myself.
Well,
I have never been more concerned with someone's success, and I'll never be more disappointed.
I cannot wait for you to drive me nuts with it for the next year and a half.
I can't even say I'm kidding. No, I really hope that Katie does well. I'm very proud for her. She's doing what she wants to do. That's fantastic.
But secretly behind Katie's back, you will go, yes, if she fails the bar and we don't have to redo the intro.
Also, no, I really wouldn't. It takes like 3 months to get bar results. So we're really looking at May of 2026 before we know anything.
So you could get a degree by then.
I don't want any.
I could change jobs by then, and then we could just totally revamp the entire thing.
I already have 2 degrees. I don't want any more. I've no more school.
I'm just trying to solve the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank
you
for that.
Really probably could get a doctorate before I could pass the bar. I think there's time.
Oh, no, thank you. I am good where I'm at.
Never mind.
Yeah, I know. This week, there's Katie in the big chair. Mm-hmm. Yes. And there's 2 dummies.
Reporting for duty.
Yeah. 2 of us. She briefly told us what we were going to talk about today.
That's right.
And that was the first time Scott and I had heard of it.
And we looked at each other in total confusion.
I have no idea.
Nah.
And I don't even remember the names. I don't remember anything she said.
Yeah.
I'm not retaining anything.
You sound like your husband.
Yeah.
I did conveniently just not tell y'all all week. Like Scott did ask me on Wednesday what I was doing. And I had been like,
she gave me the shutdown. She's like, ugh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I said I wasn't real sure because I wasn't done with it.
Oh.
Okay.
But.
Maybe that's what she said.
And apparently this has been all over social media. Yes. Somehow both of us, Scott, we missed it.
I miss a lot of stuff on social media.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't have TikTok.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Then that's where.
Yeah.
I have TikTok. It's not on my TikTok. I told you what my TikTok was. It's all like Halloween decorations, and apparently people hate Blake Lively. I mean, like, that's my TikTok. Yeah. I didn't know this. I don't hate Blake Lively. I don't know Blake Lively.
She's kind of cute. I don't know her.
No. I never watched Gossip Girl. Didn't even know it was a thing. How did I miss How did I do that?
Mm-hmm.
I remember Gossip Girl.
I don't remember it. I just recently watched some of Gilmore Girls. Didn't even.
Oh, wait. That's what I was thinking
totally
about.
Totally missed me.
Maybe I get those 2 mixed up.
Yeah.
Gilmore Girls is just the mother and the daughter.
Yes.
And then Gossip Girl was were they teenagers or students?
I have
teenagers,
no idea.
Then they
and
go to
then
college.
College students. Okay.
No idea.
Yeah. Which is funny you say both of those, because then you've also got Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants that I was a huge fan of, which has both Blake Lively and Alexis Bledel in it, who is Blake's in Gossip Girl. Alexis Bledel is Rory in Gilmore Girls.
I mean, I've seen the Traveling Pants. Mm-hmm. The only reason I watched it is because I read the book.
Right.
And it was kind of cute.
I have pants.
They wore pants and mailed pants.
Yeah, yeah. I have pants that
spoiler
have
alert.
I don't know if that is, I mean.
I have several traveling pants, but they didn't travel like these pants.
Got it. Would they share the pair of pants?
They mailed pants and wore pants.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
4 friends, all different sizes.
I can't believe I missed that.
One pair of pants fits them all perfect.
That's total fiction.
Yeah, it sounds like science fiction.
Yeah, because I have, I don't know, a dozen pairs of pants, and depending on the day, they may or may not fit.
Yeah.
And I bought them for me.
Mm-hmm. I have the same issue.
Yeah, this is...
These are the only ones I could get into today, so...
Oh, sorry, Scott.
You're welcome. Or condolences.
Whichever. I don't know what to...
Well, wait till you see me leave and then make up your mind.
Oh, Lord. Scott also has on his sunglasses.
Yeah. Oh, I forget I have them on. They're mm-hmm. prescription. I can't see without them.
Yeah.
And I'm cooler this way.
You do look really cool.
Everybody except Shane agrees.
Yeah.
And he's disagreeable about everything, so not surprised.
All right, so... How's your other podcast going?
I'd rather not talk about it. I blew it up a little bit last week.
She said with total disdain.
Yes, she did. It's going well. Everybody seems to, the 8 people who have heard it seem to like it very much.
Oh, good.
Yep. My favorite is every week Shane will be like, did you listen to the podcast? And every week I'm like, no.
Good.
And then he is very disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, for one, I know these stories you're telling.
Yeah. Yeah. You've heard every one of these 100 times.
Yeah. And for two, just no.
Yeah.
Well, have you given him the, you have a podcast?
Oh, Lord.
That he used to give us?
Yeah.
It still does.
Yeah.
And still does.
Okay. All right. So.
No, because there was a trivia question Wednesday night at trivia that we knew because of the, do you remember what the question was, Scott?
Y'all knew it because of our podcast?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
It was, was it who was president at a certain point in history?
No. It was very specific. Like we went, who directed the Flowers of the Midnight? The moon.
Oh, yeah. Killers of the Flower Moon.
Killers of the Flower Moon.
Scorsese.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I
we knew
said,
that
and we, like, mm-hmm. and I Click. Said, well, if you'd listen to the podcast, you'd know. And mm-hmm. he was like, you have a podcast.
True Crime on Easy Street, helping you with bar trivia every day. That's our, it's, we can, new slogan.
Not a total failure anymore.
Yeah.
And Shane and Daniel were playing and they got it wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I have a shout that. Out. Can I give a, can
sure,
I give a shout
please.
Out? I'd like to give a shout out to Jacob Graves.
Okay.
Who was talking our podcast up at the bar yesterday.
He was.
He was telling Leslie.
His girlfriend.
Who was sitting next to him.
Mm-hmm.
How about our podcast and about us getting picked for the number one.
The number one true crime podcast in the state of Alabama.
Alabama. Yeah. And so he was talking to us up. So thanks, Jacob.
Yes, mm-hmm. thanks, Jacob.
Yeah. And he listens to the other one, too, he mentioned. Yeah.
And hello,
Leslie.
I said, Leslie.
Don't listen to that one. Ours is much better. Yes, and hello, Leslie.
Yep. Super sweet, Leslie.
Well, very nice.
All right, so that's it. We've got shout-outs. We've talked a little bit.
Yeah.
Let's get down to the story. I have no idea, Katie. Just take it over from here.
This story is going to be pretty recent, and if you are as invested in TikTok as I am, you probably... have seen a little bit about it. If you're as invested as I am, you've seen a lot about it. I'm going to talk about the murder of John O'Keefe. We're going to introduce our main players to start off with. We've got Karen Reed, who was John O'Keefe's girlfriend. She's around 44 years old. She was born in 1980. She is a financial analyst from Massachusetts. All our people are going to be in Massachusetts today. We're going to be around Boston, really kind of South Boston, Canton, Braintree area. Then we're going to have John O'Keefe. He's also known as Johnny or JJ, but I'm going to call him John because we
just don't know him like that.
Yeah, you don't have that familiarity.
Yeah.
He was born December 8th of 1975, also from Massachusetts. He had a master's degree in criminal justice and was a 16-year veteran of the Boston Police Department. Now, sometime... in the 2000s, 2010s, I could not find the date on this. I looked and looked and looked for the exact date on this. His sister is going to die. Mm. She's going to get brain cancer, and she is going to pass away. And then 2 months after she dies, her husband is going to die of a heart attack.
Oh, gosh.
And they are going to leave behind a 6-year-old daughter and a 3-year-old son.
Oh.
And John is going to take these children in. He's going to become their guardian.
Of course he is, because yeah. he just sounds like that kind of a guy, mm-hmm. right?
Uncle JJ. Yeah.
Yes. And now, they had another sibling who was married at the time, and they kind of assumed that they would take the kids in, and John was like, no, like, I've got it. It's not like he was their only option,
sure.
and he still took them in.
Mm-hmm.
Around this time, his best friend is also going to die, and he's going to leave behind a pregnant girlfriend.
Good gracious.
Wow.
What is going on?
Yes. John
just
is
different things. People are passing away of different things.
Yes.
Are these people? These people are young.
Yes.
So we've got heart attack. and brain cancer.
And his best friend is going to be a police officer, and he is going to succumb to suicide.
Oh, no.
And yes, like I said, he's going to leave behind a pregnant girlfriend who John is going to step in as the godfather of this child as well.
Wow.
And it was said that he was the first person in the delivery room after the baby, not during the birth, yeah, but after the baby was born. He was there for her during the remainder of her pregnancy.
Oh, my goodness.
Sounds like a good person.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Someone you definitely want to know.
Mm-hmm. Like, I think it was like a joke. They called him like patron St. John, you know, just sure. Like he was just, yeah, just a great
guy. Absolutely.
He's going to be 46 years old at the time of his death. Karen and John are going to meet in 2004. They're going to date briefly and then they're going to break up, but they reconnect and get back together right before COVID in 2020. And this, he's got the niece and the nephew living with him at this time. We're going to fast forward to the night of January 28th, 2022. And John and Karen are out on the town. They're going to a bar. They're having a couple drinks. They go to a bar called CF McCarthy's. John's drinking beer. Karen's drinking vodka soda. It's just a very normal,
sounds average, like a normal
chill
evening.
Night. Like, it's nothing crazy. They're going to then go across the street to another bar called Waterfall Bar and Grill, where they're going to meet up with some friends. Here enters Jennifer McCabe and her husband, Matthew McCabe. Jennifer and John knew each other pretty well because John's niece and Jennifer's daughter are going to be really close friends.
All right, got it.
They're early teenage girls, so the parents are in contact, probably get them to each other's house, spend the night
parties.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah. They're close. Jennifer has said that when Karen and John got to Waterfall Bar and Grill, that there's nothing weird. Everybody's happy. Nobody's fighting.
So they're not just walking in inebriated, drunk, and arguing.
Right.
Everything seems normal.
It's just kind of, they were at one bar. Everybody else is at another bar. Hey, let's go. Walk across the street. That's where everybody else
is. Let's go see everybody else. Yeah.
I do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. They then are going to decide that they're not done with the night. So they're going to keep the party going after the bars are done. And they're going to head to somebody's house. Like a house. I hate to say house party because these are like 40-year-old people, you know, just hanging out. Mm-hmm. It's not really I guess you have to call it a house party, but.
Well, I mean.
What time of year was it?
It's January.
Okay.
It is.
We're done with
so there's
the bars,
no baseball.
But we're not done. Yeah, there's nothing else
they're
to
not
do.
They're not going let's to see the Red Sox game.
Let's go. Let's go back, TV. Have a few drinks. Keep.
Sure.
Keep the night going. Mm-hmm. We're not ready to go home yet.
Don't have to get up early in the morning.
Yeah, it's January 28th rolling into January 29th because I'm sure we're right at midnight now.
Sure.
When they get to their cars, John is going to text Jennifer where to. Jennifer is going to reply, 34 Fairview Road.
Okay.
This is the home of Jennifer's sister, Nicole Albert, and her husband, Brian Albert.
Okay.
So they're going to Jennifer's sister's house. Brian is a Boston police sergeant and a trained MMA fighter.
Oh, wow.
Tough combination.
Yeah.
He's on the fugitive apprehension team?
He is.
I would
absolutely
so.
He yeah. is.
Leading the way, I hope.
Mm-hmm.
He was even featured on the 2013 TNT reality cop show called Boston's Finest.
Oh, I've heard of that show.
Yeah, I've never watched it, but I had heard when that came up, that mm-hmm. rang a bell. Because that was back when you watched like actual TV, so you'd scroll TNT would have stuff on.
When you watched network television at night.
Yeah. Yep. Jennifer says they got to the Alberts about 12:30. And she's going to see Karen pull up in her black Lexus SUV. So Karen has like it's one of the bigger black Lexus SUVs, so it's kind of distinct.
Mm-hmm.
John doesn't really know anyone at this house except Jennifer, so he texts her to make sure that they have arrived at the right place. And they're going to text back and forth for a bit, and then Jennifer says that she's going to see Karen's car pull away. Now, because everyone at this house party is in the house. I mean, it's January in Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's
cold.
They're
not outside.
They're not outside. Mm-hmm. She says John never came inside the party, so she assumed he just left with Karen.
Mm-hmm. Did John and Karen arrive in the same vehicle?
Yes, they're in the same
vehicle. Okay, they're in that SUV.
In Karen's black Lexus SUV.
Got it.
Karen is going to say that she dropped John off and left because she didn't feel well and didn't want to go into the party.
Okay. But no one in the party saw him. He didn't come in.
According to Jennifer, he did not come in the party, and no one saw him.
And there's not a whole lot of people there. It's not like...
There's like 11 people there.
So you would know if John came in. You would know if John didn't come
in. It's not 200 people and you lose track.
They wouldn't have missed him, no. And it's not that big of a house. It's a very normal sized house.
Okay.
We're going to have access later on to some voicemails later throughout the night. Like I said, Karen says she went home because she didn't feel well. But these voicemails later are going to, they don't sound great for Karen. She's calling John. She's leaving him voicemails that say things like, I'm going to curse a little bit. You are a fucking loser.
Oh.
Go fuck yourself. And John, I fucking hate you. All in her very distinct Boston accent, because that's what they all
say. I wonder how she feels about John.
It seems like they were arguing.
Yeah.
And like it was kind of, maybe Karen didn't want to go to this party and John did. And Karen's like, well, you know, you go, I'm going home.
I got it.
That's kind of the vibe of these voicemails. All right. Karen is going to go back to John's house where she basically lives. She has another home, but none of her things are really there. She is staying 100% at John's house for the most part. And she's going to fall asleep on the couch.
Where are these kids?
His niece is asleep upstairs and the nephew is at a sleepover.
The niece, who's been there with the niece?
Nobody. She's been home alone.
She's the teenager, remember?
I'm not sure exactly. I was trying to
find her age. Old enough to stay by herself.
Yeah, she's probably 14, 15. Oh, yeah, I think.
Is that old enough, Mom?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the nephew's 3 years younger than her. He is at someone else's house.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah.
So Karen falls asleep on the couch. When she wakes up on the couch and she notices she's still in last night's clothes and John isn't home, she's going to kind of panic. She probably went in, passed out on the couch, expected John to pull up, wake her up when he got home, and then they, you know, go to bed is what I think. And she's drunk or she's been drinking and they're angry. So I think she woke up still in her clothes like, oh gosh, where is he? Mm-hmm. She is going to call him. He's not going to answer. So she's going to go upstairs to where her niece is sleeping and she's going to ask her niece for Jennifer's phone number, Jennifer McCabe's phone number, because she, you know, the niece is friends with Jennifer's daughters.
Yep.
She ends up having Jennifer's number. So she gives Jennifer's number to Karen and Karen's going to call Jennifer asking, had she seen John? And she's like, no. She's like, but I'll help you look for him.
Okay.
So this is at 4:53 a.m. when Karen makes this phone call to Jennifer. Jennifer is going to enlist the help of another friend named Carrie Roberts to come with her and Karen and go look for John.
Okay.
Carrie was not at the party the night before.
Okay.
So Carrie and Karen are going to meet at Jennifer's house. It's going to be about 5 a.m. at this point. And Carrie is going to drive the three of them back to the Alberts house, which was the location of the house party.
Okay.
Where John was last seen. Well, he wasn't seen. Where Karen says she left him.
Okay.
Carrie says that on the way there that Karen is hysterical. And she's saying things like, could I have hit him? Did I hit him?
Hit him?
Which is cryptic and which is debated. This is what Carrie is saying Karen was saying.
Okay. And Carrie is obviously, she wasn't at the party the night before. We don't know if she went out drinking, but we're guessing not.
We don't know where Carrie really comes into play.
She's the one who's driving.
Yes.
She's the one they have asked to help.
Mm-hmm. They have enlisted her to help them.
I'm almost assuming, and maybe I shouldn't, that she's completely sober and hasn't been drinking. And
that's my assumption.
Okay. And so she's saying, this hysterical Karen
is saying things like, could I have hit him?
Okay. And then, okay, we don't know about the voicemails at this point.
Right.
Just yet. Okay.
No. When they approach the Alberts, it's in the 5 a.m. hour. The sun is not up. It's actively snowing. And a snowstorm had come in the early morning hours. So a lot of snow is on the ground that wasn't there before. There was snow on the ground before, but there had literally, I don't want to say a blizzard, but like a snowstorm had blown in. Mm-hmm. Karen spots John in the snow first. He is in the Alberts' front lawn. He's out of the road. He's kind of to the left of their home, a good ways to the left of their home in the front lawn, and he is covered in snow. She jumps out of the vehicle and runs to him. She clears the snow off his body. She's going to lift up his shirt and lay her body on top of his to try to transfer some heat to him. Carrie's going to come up behind her, and she's going to brush the snow off John's face, and she's going to see that there's blood around his nose and mouth. And then both women are going to begin CPR on him. So I'm guessing that means one's doing compressions, one's mm-hmm. doing mouth to mouth. Jennifer is standing. Jennifer is standing back, and she's going to call 911. And this is around 6:04 a.m. is where we're going to place this phone call. The ambulance arrives. They take John to the hospital, and he's going to be pronounced dead at 7:50 a.m.
Was he dead on arrival, or was he still alive when he got there? Do you know?
They don't pronounce him dead till 7:50.
That's so, 2 hours later. So,
but I mean, it's probably a busy emergency room.
Yeah. So it
I don't know how that works.
It doesn't say.
Okay.
The medical examiner is going to report that he had abrasions to his right arm.
Okay.
Which are going to be said that could be also classified as dog scratches, dog bites.
Oh.
But they're going to label him abrasions to the right arm. Several lacerations to the face, two black eyes, skull fractures that would have contributed to brain bleeding. And they're also going to say hypothermia is a contributing factor here in his death.
What? I mean, something hit him.
Yeah.
So it, you don't like get a skull fractures.
A Lexus SUV, perhaps?
I mean, yeah, you don't get skull fractures and two black eyes from laying in the snow.
Yeah.
Right. So here enters Detective Michael Proctor.
All right, Michael, figure it out.
He's going to question Karen, and she answers all of his questions willingly.
Okay.
But this is also where she's going to realize that she needs to hire a lawyer.
Yeah, she should have realized that before, honestly. Yeah. I mean,
one word.
We've told you this.
Lawyer.
Yep. She doesn't listen to our podcast.
But his original questioning, I think, is, you know, mundane, but still.
He's not suspicious.
So
yet.
It would seem.
Yeah.
Michael is going to be the one who writes the criminal complaint for Karen's arrest.
Okay.
And she is going to be arrested on February 1st, 2022, and charged with motor vehicle homicide, manslaughter, and leaving the scene of a motor vehicle collision causing death.
Wow.
Yeah.
She is going to, of course, plead not guilty. But Proctor is going to be the lead detective in this case.
Okay.
He is a close friend with the Albert family. Now, remember, the Alberts are the people who own the house that the party was at.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Albert's nephew, Colin, was a ring bearer in Michael Proctor's sister's wedding.
Okay.
There are pictures of this online. There are pictures of Proctor with the Alberts and the McCabes at a birthday party.
I mean, you know what this sounds like? It sounds like small town.
Right.
This mm-hmm. little area, this little suburb or mm-hmm. whatever. And I'm not saying little. It's probably not. But of Boston, we get this
yeah.
here in our small area of the world.
Yeah. But what they have that we don't have is plenty of detectives.
Yeah, that's true. So we have, really, do we have two here?
Oh, I'm not.
A few.
Do we have more than two?
Yeah. Okay. Sheriff's Department, DA. Yeah.
Okay. Really what should have happened, and all have agreed at this point, is Michael Proctor should have recused himself from this. He was entirely
okay.
too familiar with
fair
these
enough.
People.
Okay. Fair enough.
Sure.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's only questioning Karen Reed at this point. No okay. one else.
Right, right.
And this is where things get a little crazy, because right now you're thinking Karen hit him with her car mm-hmm. and drove off.
Sounds
and
cut
left
and dry.
Him to die in the snow.
Yeah.
June 9th, 2022 is Karen is going to get indicted on these charges, and she's going to plead not guilty, and she's going to have to post $100,000 bond to get out of jail. And she's going to hire top tier defense team.
Sure.
April 2023, the defense presents their theory of the cover-up. They're going to assert that the police department has covered this up in order to shield the people who are really responsible, which would be Brian Albert.
The MMA guy.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause their theory is,
I forgot about that.
Their theory is John has gone to this party. He's gotten to a fight with Brian, or maybe multiple people.
Mm-hmm.
That Brian's dog was involved, because he's got these marks on his arm that really resemble dog scratches and dog bites, because Brian's going to have this big German Shepherd dog. And then he's got two black eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
but also, wouldn't a dog, maybe those are the dog, mm-hmm. but if he's already lying in the yard from being hit by mm-hmm. Alexis, maybe the dog.
Well, you're
comes
assuming
up.
That that's what happened.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, mm-hmm. let's entertain that for a second.
Sure.
Okay.
The dog doesn't really bother me about that, because the dog, that could have happened whether he was beaten up or hit mm-hmm. by the car, wouldn't you think?
No, because if it's the kind of abrasions that I'm thinking about, it's like where the dog, he put his arm up to defend from being bitten by
the dog latched
onto his arm, and the dog's not going to have any reason to do that if you're laying in the ground.
I don't know, would he though?
Like, unconscious.
I don't think this dog just ran out in the yard freely.
Okay. All right. I'm just saying. I guess I'm being devil's advocate. Yes, I don't know.
Yeah, sure.
Yes. Or maybe fine. I'm not. I don't know what I'm being.
Brian Albert is also going to sell his house after this incident. He's going to rehome his dog. We're going to have a Google search from Jennifer McCabe at 2:27 a.m. And the Google search is going to be, "Hoss long to die in cold." I meant to type how long to die, mm-hmm. but Hoss long to die in cold. Now, the prosecution is later going to claim that these searches were made after 6:23 a.m., after John's going to be found in the snow. But the defense will argue that a federal forensic expert placed the search at 2:27 a.m.
Well, I'm going to go with the forensic expert, mm-hmm. right?
But now let's talk about the evidence against Karen.
Yeah, okay.
There are going to be taillight fragments found near John that match a broken taillight on her car.
Well, that's pretty suspicious.
That's solid. Mm-hmm.
DNA belonging to John is going to be found on those taillight fragments.
That's solid.
Yep.
There's a dent in the trunk door. There are scratches on the rear bumper. I feel like
the lead's been buried.
Yeah.
There was a broken taillight and apparent glass and apparent hair on the bumper. None of that was ever proven. They used the word apparent because they could not prove that there was any hair or glass.
The hair was apparent. Everything else was...
Apparent glass and apparent hair on the bumper.
Okay.
That's apparent. Very weird.
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
Weirdly worded. I mean, we have DNA tests.
Yeah. And Karen never got out of her car and went into the party.
Right.
So that no one could have taken control of her vehicle.
Right.
And, you know,
yeah.
hit somebody with her vehicle, and then she got back in it and left. So she always was in her vehicle. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's tough to explain away.
They're going to test for blood on the vehicle, and it's going to come back negative.
All right, no blood.
Now, the defense has an argument for this. The taillight is the most damning evidence.
Oh, yeah. That's rough.
They're going to argue that these pieces were planted. No one controlled this crime scene for 6 to 7 hours after John was found in the snow. There's security camera footage of Karen leaving John's house. You can totally see her backing out of his house that morning to go look for him when she's made that phone call to Jennifer McCabe, and she's going to meet Jennifer and Carrie to go look for John. You can see her backing out of John's house. She's going to back out. She's going to hit John's truck, cracking her taillight.
Who does that?
Karen.
On the morning of.
This is the morning of.
Okay.
John would have already been laying in the snow. Mm-hmm. She's backing out. John's truck is parked in the driveway, and she's parked up, I guess, in the garage.
Yeah, and she's in a panic. She's in a hurry. She's not looking behind her. Wham.
She does actually hit his car.
She hits his truck. You can see it. I mean,
I've watched the video.
It's clear as day.
And it's that taillight that they're talking about.
Same taillight. She's going to crack it. And then you pull out, and then you can see where it's cracked and dented in the back of the taillight. There's angles from both ways. You can see her pulling out, and you can see the lights coming from her taillights, and it doesn't look like anything's amiss or cracked or anything.
And then you see the and then you see her
crack it. And then you see her pull off, and then you see the back of the car.
And you can see the nail damage.
Now, the prosecution will argue that this is her trying to cover up that it's already cracked.
Good Lord.
But I don't know how well of a job she could do at 5 a.m. in a panic. Because they're also arguing she's still drunk at this time.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
The prosecution's arguing she's still drunk.
That was my whole point of saying, well, they got this other girl to drive mm-hmm. and go with them.
She's trying to cover up. She nailed his truck spot on then.
Right where she needed to. Mm-hmm. Well, how does that explain the pieces of taillight near his body?
Because they don't find those for 6 to 7 hours after. They don't find those immediately when they take him to the... to the emergency room. They don't search the scene or control the scene until 5 o'clock that afternoon, I think.
So the defense argument is going to be
4 o'clock.
You had a crime scene that was not secured. Anybody could have gone into that area during that time, grabbed a piece of broken taillight and sprinkled it into the grass.
And this McCabe, mm-hmm. is that who we're talking about? McCabe? No.
So
what man is the MMA fighter?
Brian Albert.
Albert.
Who owned the house.
Who is also
a sergeant. Yes. And they are going to tow Karen's vehicle before they search the crime scene.
Okay.
So her vehicle is no longer in her possession. Any taillight fragments would no longer be in her
possession. When did that happen?
When did they tow her car?
Yeah.
But that day, so the 29th.
Before the
crime scene was secured and searched.
Wow. Okay. Did John and Albert, that's his last name.
Mm-hmm. Brian Albert, yes.
Did they not like each other?
I don't think they really knew each other.
Okay.
So there's no theory on to why they would have. Not that I know.
But I mean, did Brian have a history of getting drunk, getting mouthy?
No, but. No, wait, did Brian?
Not Brian. John.
No,
John?
But I think Brian did.
Oh.
I mean, it could be something as simple as John is trying to get into this house where he knows there's a party. He's banging on the door. Maybe he's had a few too many beers. And hothead MMA fighter doesn't give him a chance to explain himself, comes out fists a-blazing.
Dog jumping.
Yeah.
Well, you know what?
And then they go, oh, shit, that's our friend John.
You know what? If I'm on that jury, I now have reasonable doubt.
Mm-hmm. Me too, so far.
It's also theorized that Colin Albert, Brian's nephew, was there and could have been involved as well. That's I'm going to get into the weeds if I get into the whys and the minuscule.
Yeah.
Because none of this we know.
Mm-hmm. And I'm trying so hard to use Occam's razor here. Mm-hmm. What is the simplest explanation?
No, we're not anywhere close to simple
one.
Yet.
What? Yeah. You can't even use that
simple
here.
Is elusive right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, because some people say that they wanted Colin Albert to fight. Like they were teaching him how to fight. And so like this was just a guy, you know, a big guy that he could fight so that he could get some fights under his belt.
Yeah, hey, John's drunk outside. Come take a couple of swings.
Mm-hmm. Good Lord. We don't know that for sure.
No.
Right?
No. That's like totally we know. No, like,
these are just, are these defense theories, Katie, mm-hmm. that end up being used in court?
Well, these are not even what's being used in court. Okay. The defense is trying to say, because we're going to get into the trial.
Okay.
But the defense is not going to be allowed to argue that someone else killed him.
Okay.
Because
there's no evidence that happened.
Right. I'm looking at pictures of these people while we're...
Yeah, oh yeah. There's like family trees that can link you together. But so on March 13th, there is going to be... The Massachusetts State Police is going to open an internal investigation into Proctor. Because they're going to say he violated policy by being the lead detective on this case.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if you look up his injuries, mm-hmm. too, he doesn't have a lot of torso injuries, mm-hmm. which is what you would think would get hit.
Because
they're going to say that she backed into him. They're also going to say that she backed into him going 20-something miles an hour.
Wow.
Like she would have had to
floor it
backwards. Yeah. To hit him hard enough to throw him into the side yard.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a tall man.
Mm-hmm.
And she would have also needed to kind of like hit him at a certain angle because she wouldn't hit him broadside.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, well,
I don't want to show my bias just yet. I don't guess.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. All right.
So the trial's going to commence. Our judge is going to be Judge Beverly Cannon. Everybody calls her Judge Bev on the internet. Judge Bev.
Oh, all right.
We shall as well.
I mean, yeah.
On March 12th, 2024, Karen's attorneys are going to file a motion to dismiss the case due to alleged conflicts of interest and federal crash reconstruction experts determining that John's injuries were inconsistent with the damage to Reed's, to Karen's car. Hey guys, I want to tell you about one of our newest sponsors, and that is Cherokee Family Healthcare. Cherokee Family Healthcare is located right here on Main Street in Center, Alabama.
Connie Geimer, who is a nurse practitioner there, is an acute emergency and family specialist, along with Piper Pierce, who's a family and psychiatric mental health nurse practitioner. They offer many services at Cherokee Family Healthcare, such as
they have primary care, mental health, urgent care, you can get DOT physicals, they handle weight loss, IV hydration. We all need that from time to time. You can get a same-day appointment, and walk-ins are welcome.
Yeah, so give them a call
at 256-266-1021.
Hey, guys. Do you know what time it is?
Tell us.
It's time to plan your best vacation ever right here in beautiful Cherokee County, Alabama.
Many outdoor adventures await. You can wet a hook in beautiful Weiss Lake, swing away at Cherokee Pines Golf Club, climb to the best view around at Cherokee Rock Village, hike the Little River Canyon National Preserve, take a day's long splash at Pirates Bay Water Park, and there's so much more.
The Cherokee County Chamber of Commerce and Tourism has a full list of recommended lodging facilities, RV sites, and campgrounds, and they're all set up to suit your vacation needs, whatever they may be.
So come see us from wherever you are located. And if you already live right here in Cherokee County, then plan your summer staycation with the Chamber by visiting cherokee-chamber.org.
Guys, we want to let you know that don't forget that Easy Street is now open for lunch 5 days a week, Tuesday through Saturday, at 11.
Great lunch menu.
Let's do lunch.
Brand new. We've shared it on our Facebook page, and I know that Shane has also shared it on the Easy Street Facebook page, so it's easy to find the menu, and it's terrific. Everything on it.
Yes. What's your favorite thing, Scott?
I like the hamburger steak with the mashed potatoes. The mashed potatoes are better than I can make, and I make pretty darn good mashed potatoes.
No, they are.
They're terrific.
Katie, so what's your favorite?
Yeah.
I like, well, you can get a flatbread pizza. Mm-hmm. I also like just the chicken fingers.
Yeah, chicken fingers are great. Best chicken fingers in town. How about you, Kelly?
I like the rice bowl with the chicken and the vegetables.
It's all
the
good.
Yum yum sauce.
Oh,
so delicious. You're not going to go wrong. Salad bar's always fresh.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Have lunch at Easy Street. You might see us there one day.
Yeah, you never know. 11 to 2 every day is when the menu prices on the lunch menu are.
That sounds right.
That's right. Something like that. Everything that comes out of that swinging door is delicious at Easy Street, we promise.
Yes. Thank you to Easy Street for being our primary sponsor, our main sponsor.
Yeah. Thanks, Shane. Go eat lunch.
Yes.
Yes.
Come see us.
Well, honestly, I think there's enough there to do that.
Like, they're just going to say, you don't have the evidence to try my client. Like, nothing, like...
I was going more on conflict of interest than...
Well, yes.
I think there's some evidence there.
They had a federal, like I said, a crash reconstruction expert try to show how his injuries could have happened with her backing over him.
Mm-hmm.
And they said it was impossible.
Okay.
So, but, you know, you take expert, you know, testimony, how you take it, and the judge is going to deny the motion. And she's going to say that there's extensive evidence supporting the indictments.
Okay.
Mainly being John's DNA being found on those broken taillight pieces.
That's a tough one.
So her trial was first scheduled to begin March 2024, but it was rescheduled to April. The trial is going to start on April 16th with jury selection, and that is going to take until April 24th to complete. Prosecutors previously asked Judge to block Karen's lawyers from arguing that others are to blame for John's death, also known as third-party culprit defense. Mm-hmm. And the judge is going to, what she's going to say is she's going to offer the defense a chance to develop the arguments through relevant, competent, and admissible evidence. But she is going to bar them from using the third-party culprit defense during opening statements. So she's like, don't get out here on opening statements.
Don't plant a seed. And
yeah,
I'm looking at you, Casey Anthony lawyers.
And so the Commonwealth, or the state of Massachusetts, but they call it the Commonwealth, they're going to rest their case on June 21st after 8 weeks of testimony from 68 witnesses.
That's a lot. Could you imagine being on that jury?
It was not yet. I know what I'm thinking right now.
Yeah. I'll be interested to see what you think, Scott, here in a minute.
This included a paramedic who says they heard a woman repeating, "I hit him, I hit him." But the defense is going to challenge this, saying that she never said this originally, that she's going to come here at trial and testify and say she heard this after all this time, that no one else is, you know, there was a team of paramedics there. No one else heard a woman saying, "I hit him, I hit him."
But the girl who's driving that morning said she said it a couple yes. times.
Mm-hmm. Jennifer McCabe is going to take the stand, saying that her Google search was done the morning John was found. Like I said, the hoss long to die in the snow. Mm-hmm. Proctor is going to take the stand, and he's going to testify for 2 days. Mm. His testimony is rough to watch. It's rough on him.
Ooh.
He was made to read aloud text messages he sent about Karen during the investigation.
Oh, no.
Those included when a friend asked, "Is she hot at least?" He said, "From all accounts, he didn't do anything wrong. She's a whack job. C-U-N-T.
Oh, no.
That's how he's going to read it aloud in court. And the judge is going to say,
"No, say it.
Yeah, these are your words.
Read it.
And you wrote them, so you're going to
stand behind them."
And so
I wish we could do this to trolls on social media. Like, say it.
Yeah. So she makes him say the C word aloud in court.
That's fun.
Another text he sends says, "She's a babe. Weird Fall River accent, though."
Okay. What does any of this have to do with this investigation? That's the point, I know. But
showing his brain is somewhere else mm-hmm. besides trying to figure out who did it.
Yeah. He's going to share a picture of her being walked out of the police barracks, and someone asked if she was a smoke.
Okay.
And he replied, "Eh."
Okay. Mm.
Then made a joke about her medical condition, which I think she might require a colostomy bag.
Oh.
And so he's going to make some jokes about incontinent issues. Mm. Like,
oh, no.
And then he's going to have some texts with his sister, including...
How old is this guy?
Oh, 40s.
Yeah, he didn't know about that incontinence just yet, does he? Mm. Give him about 10 years.
Yeah.
He'll be sorry for those comments.
He's going to have some texts with his sister about... and his sister is going to ask if the Canton situation involved a homicide, to which he's going to respond, "Don't say a word to anyone." And his sister's going to say, "Of course not." And then he went to say that the death was, at the very least, it's suspicious. And he told his sister that Julie and Chris, which are the Alberts, which are the people who own the home, were at the bar with the victim and girlfriend. Got to interview them. And then the prosecutor is going to bring up a text message that his sister sent later on after talking to Julie Albert. And she's going to say, "When this is all over, she wants to get you a thank you gift." And then Proctor is going to say, "Get Elizabeth one," which is his wife. And then Proctor told the jury that his wife had been stuck taking care of their kids for 10 nights and added that, "I never received a gift. I never asked for a gift. My wife never received a gift. My wife never asked for a gift." But it's like insinuating, like, Julie's going to say thank you for taking care of all this.
Mm-hmm.
And
why does the prosecution bring this up? Because he didn't get a gift? Or is he a witness? Who's he a witness for?
This is the prosecution bringing this up.
They're trying to head this one off at the pass. Mm-hmm. They're trying to get it out of the way before the defense does it, right?
Okay.
Because it's all in discovery, so the defense team knows.
And that way he can say, they bring up the gift, and he can say, "I never received a gift. Yeah. I never got a gift. There was no gift.
Get that out there. Involved. Okay, but no one received mm-hmm. anything. Okay.
Rip off that Band-Aid before
I gotcha.
It gets ripped off for
yeah, but also, okay. He's also going to text his sister. Hopefully she kills herself.
Ooh.
Referring to Karen.
Yeah. Well, look, I'm not trying to take the guy's side,
right.
But if he just thinks he's doing his job and he thinks he knows what happens, then I can see why, if you're angry that somebody has died needlessly, you would think, boy, I hope the person who's responsible for this kills herself.
I can understand.
It's just human nature to wish ill on yeah. somebody that you think is a terrible person who's sure. done something as horrible as kill somebody.
I could understand verbalizing that to someone, yeah. saying it outright.
Yeah.
What I still don't understand in this day and age, even in 2022, why are you texting things like that?
Yeah.
Yes.
And you're a detective.
Because I think that they thought that this was going to be cut and dry. Karen was going to plead guilty and
even,
cut a deal. And,
but still, but the, like, well, that's so dumb.
Well, yeah. And the result of it is that it shows that this investigator, Michael Proctor, he had blinders on from the beginning. So he's not... He's looking for evidence that confirms his theory about what he thinks happened, right?
Confirms his theory or confirms what he's told to find.
Or that.
Could be. I also get having blinders on because at first that is the simplest explanation, what happened.
How many times have we had this conversation on this podcast where the police are blinded by what they think the facts are, by the facts that fit into the theory that they... come up with initially.
Confirmation bias.
Yes, exactly. And then they throw out everything that doesn't make any difference, or that makes a difference.
Right. And I even see that in this case because I kind of was, when we first started hearing about it, like, you know, oh, she did it.
Yeah.
But, okay, so have that, think this, think that. Why are you texting it to people you're not even supposed to be talking to?
Yeah, about the case.
About the case. Yeah. So I would say mistrial, just based on the handling of the investigation, is that makes sense to me.
All right.
There's going to be a different text thread. Remember, he's up there for 2 days.
Yeah.
2 days. Different text thread. Proctor is going to make a comment about Yannetti, which is one of Karen's lawyers. Her lawyer team is going to consist of a man named David Yannetti and a man named Alan Jackson.
All right.
Cool.
And he's going to write, after having to stop processing Karen's phone because he's finding this protected communication between her and her attorney, like, so he can't go any further in that, he's going to say that he was going through his R-worded client's phone.
R-worded.
You know, the R-word.
No.
Rhymes with started.
Oh.
He says, no nudes so far. I hate that man. I truly hate him.
No nudes. She didn't send her lawyer nudes.
Meaning he was going through her phone, calling her the R word. He's found no nudes in the phone so far.
Okay.
And he hates that man talking about David Yannetti.
David Yannetti. Okay. He can hate him. That's fine.
Run-ins in the courtroom with that fellow previously.
You can hate him, but... Ooh, this is not good for him.
No nudes so far.
In fact, this is terrible for him. You're right. I kind of want to watch it, though.
You can. I watched a lot of it.
I really do now. I want to watch this.
The defense is going to complete its list of 6 witnesses.
All right.
And it's going to rest its case on June 24th.
Okay.
So, let's see. The prosecution took 8 weeks, and they rested on June 21st. And so... the defense took 3 days. Closing arguments were delivered on June 25th, and jury deliberations are going to start the same day. Before the jury deliberated, Karen's attorney, Alan Jackson, he's going to argue that the verdict slip wasn't fair to Karen. And now the verdict slip, I'm pulling up a picture of it so I can really verbalize how it looked. But, of course... ads here. She has 3 charges.
Okay.
And there is a big, on the main charge, the homicide charge, it says offense, murder in the second degree. Not guilty or guilty of the offense as charged, murder in the second degree. So they can check.
Guilty or not guilty. Or not guilty is first. Mm-hmm. And guilty is...
is second.
Second.
Okay, now on those lesser included offenses, which are manslaughter while operating a motor vehicle under the influence, it's going to say the number one is not guilty. Okay. And I'm sorry, now you have your lesser included charges with that big charge up there. It's going to say guilty of the offense as charged, and then it'll say guilty of lesser included offense, involuntary manslaughter, guilty of lesser included charge of motor vehicle homicide by operating a motor vehicle under the influence of alcohol, and or motor vehicle homicide by operating a motor vehicle with a blood alcohol level of 0.08% or greater. but it didn't have a list to call her not guilty for those lesser included. So you either had to check not guilty for the big one up top, or you could find her guilty of the lesser ones.
One of the lesser ones.
Yes.
I am so confused.
It's confusing. It's confusing. And so what Alan Jackson argued is it should say not guilty or guilty, and then not guilty or guilty, not guilty or guilty for each.
Makes sense to me.
Each of the things, each of the lesser included. Because that's even a hard concept just to put out there of what a lesser included charge is, and we're not going to get into all that. But he said, you know, your slip, and Alan Jackson's not from Massachusetts. He's from California, I believe.
But your slip is you're going to find her guilty of something.
Right.
It's kind of what he's saying.
Yeah, he's like, it's lay people. You need to make them understand they either can check not guilty or guilty. Because the judge is going to argue, well, if they find her not guilty, they'll check the top. And he said,
and then they're done?
Right. He said, that is grounds all day for an appeal.
Yeah, I mean, you would just want to check all of those, pun intended, check all the boxes for that not to happen.
Right, because if they check not guilty at the top, but then they check guilty of something down here.
Then you've got.
She's like, well, they can't do that. And he said, but how do they understand that?
Yeah.
He's like, I'm
with him because an American jury is dumb. Mm-hmm.
Well, he was just, yeah. And she said no. She said, we're not updating.
Well, there's grounds for an appeal then.
Yeah.
She's going to come back and change her mind and agree to changing the slips.
Thanks, Bev.
She got a call from somebody. Like somebody somewhere called her and said,
hey, dumbass, they're going to appeal this in the morning if you don't change that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So on July 1st, after 25 hours of deliberation, the jury was unable to come to a unanimous decision.
I am not shocked.
And there's going to be a mistrial declared.
Yep. I get it.
And the Commonwealth immediately comes out and says they plan to retry this case.
Okay.
And that happened as
as of July 1st of this year.
Okay.
That's fine. Do better. Bring better evidence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and maybe leave Michael Proctor at home next time.
Let's get somebody else.
He is
grossly unprofessional.
Mm-hmm. Well, and he has had an internal investigation levied on him, and I'm not sure he's working right now.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't end here.
Oh, Lord.
All right.
So four different jurors are going to reach out to Karen's defense team after the trial to let them know that they did reach unanimous verdicts on the first and third charge. First charge being the big one, the second-degree murder charge. And then the third charge being the leaving the scene of a deadly crash charge.
They all said not guilty for that.
They said not guilty.
All the jurors.
So it was only the second charge of operating.
The manslaughter charge.
Okay.
So then why did it get revealed?
Which may have been operating. Yeah.
Why did it get revealed that, why did the mistrial happen then?
That's what Karen's team is trying to figure out. Because what they're arguing is, the only charge that the jury could not agree on was the manslaughter charge.
Okay.
And so the defense has filed a motion to dismiss those charges on the basis of the two charges that they found her not guilty on.
Because you can't be tried again for that.
Yes. On the basis of double jeopardy.
Yeah.
And because I think the jury was confused. I think they were presented that if they couldn't come to a unanimous decision on all three charges,
it's a mistrial.
But then you
have to rely on your your foreman to understand all of that.
I guess
And I'm not saying I don't know who the foreman was. I'm sure these people are fine. That's confusing.
But they're supposed to poll these jurors after the trial, and I'm not even certain that this happened because these people reached out to them.
Mm-hmm. You got four.
Four. Three reached out to one attorney, one reached out to the other attorney. And so they have filed the motion to dismiss those charges. And that motion was heard earlier this month, but no decision has been made.
Sounds like we'll have an update.
Oh, my
God. At some point down the road.
I'm so confused.
Because a retrial is set for January 27th. They've already set the date for the retrial.
And they will retry her again on all three of those charges.
That's what we're arguing.
What happens if they do, and then it's later determined that that's double jeopardy? What is going to happen? What are the consequences of that?
She would walk
free. Of her having to go through that again. Huge lawsuit for Massachusetts.
I believe there's already grounds for a huge lawsuit. Like she has spent probably over $1 million. I don't even know if it's in the millions, but these attorneys of hers are,
they're not cheap.
No.
They're not doing it pro bono.
She's flying one in from, California, and one's local, and she's got a new one actually coming in that was that gave these arguments for this motion.
He's probably an appeals specialist.
He is. Well, they're not appealing yet. Okay. This is filing the motion to dismiss those charges, and he gave, the textbook speech on double jeopardy on, why this is unconstitutional and why,
So do we think this is going to go to their Supreme Court in the state there?
They haven't appealed anything yet.
Okay.
So
it can't until
because right now we're just trying to get this retrial. They're trying to get these two charges dropped from the retrial. And then she would just be retried on the manslaughter
charge. That she was unanimously found not guilty.
Mm-hmm. How does a sergeant, though, let's entertain for a moment that he's might be responsible. Let's just fabricate this for just a second. And he's a sergeant. How does he have this much power, though? I mean, he's not a captain. He's not a,
And
I don't know if it's the power or
you've seen these movies before.
Is it the black eye on the,
big city police departments that have a, and I'm not saying that this is the case in Canton, but yeah, they're all in cahoots. They're all stealing from the evidence room and there's a secret drug deal going on.
I don't think it's power.
I think it's bigger than maybe. If you entertain that is what's happening.
Yeah, sure.
That's a big if, with this one.
Also, I just did a quick Google because I finished this on Thursday. Friday morning, Judge Bev denied the motions to dismiss those charges, so they're going to stand for the retrial as of now.
All right, Bev. Bev is doubling down.
But we've got until January for other motions to be filed
and
other arguments to be heard in this case. Mm-hmm. So
what's Bev's history with this police department? Does she have one?
I haven't seen any.
Surely she does.
Any allegations of corruption with her? I just think people think she's incompetent in this, or that she's.
Dug her heels in,
And that she has made up her mind on how she thinks. Because, I mean, she was not in Karen's favor at all, and she would reprimand Karen. There's one clip of, when Alan Jackson is arguing for these slips to be redone and she's digging in and Alan's like, we'll appeal it in the morning then, basically saying that. And Karen kind of smirked because he was being a smart ass, but and she's like, is this funny to you, Miss Reed? She's like,
oh, wow.
But Karen is a very put together person. I mean, she's a financial analyst. I don't know if her family has money or if the money that she's using to fight this is her own. But she drove this nice Lexus SUV. She had a home she owned that just sat vacant while she was living with John. She has no children of her own. Because, when they're digging into all this, they've dug into her too. She had some flirty text messages with another police officer that she was flirting with. And she's kind of telling him, I didn't really sign up to be raising kids. And John's all in on this. He feels like he's, he's got to do this, and it's just kind of things you don't want read out loud.
I guess that's the unanswered question about all this is what was the friction between John and Karen that would have led to
them fighting?
Did the prosecution try to lay out an argument for why this would have taken place?
I think that's why they were reading her text and everything, saying
trying to infer that she wanted out of the relationship course that she took.
And I think what the point is, if you're in that camp, is not that she intentionally meant to kill him. She was angry and mad, and they have been arguing, and she has floored that car and hit him. And
thought it was in drive, and it was in reverse, and she hit him by accident.
And hit him, and may have not even realized it because of the alcohol. I mean,
because second-degree murder is you either intentionally kill someone without premeditation or planning, or as a result of gross negligence.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm thinking
she's drunk,
the gross negligence.
The car backward. Mm-hmm. So, because she wasn't charged with first-degree murder.
Well, and you look how she was driving when she was frantic out of his...
I mean, especially if it's got one of those new cars, there's a dial instead of a shifter to put your car in the gear you want it in. Maybe she thought she was reaching to turn down the radio and accidentally turned it into reverse.
I've had a car that you would go,
Okay.
You can't just like.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I don't think she would be in reverse when she thought she was.
There would also be a backup camera that's going nuts.
Yeah, you would think. But how drunk are we?
Well, I mean, if you floor it hard enough, the backup camera be damned. I mean,
I think that we can agree that she left.
Been going fast.
That she obviously she left in a hurry because if the plan was for the two of them to go to the party together, and for some reason he ended up out of the car and she was still in it, that there was some sort of disagreement that made her decide, screw this, I'm going home.
And then he maybe is walking around the back of the car and she just floors it.
Yeah.
But I mean, we've seen a glimpse into that when she's backing out of his driveway.
So we know she doesn't check the mirrors.
I mean, hell.
She would have had to, though. Okay, so if they would have pulled up to where people could have seen them from the house.
Okay.
She would have then had to pull down the street a good ways because he was found on the left side of the home and the driveway is going to be on, if you're looking at the house, to the right.
So he wasn't even near the driveway.
No. Mm-mm. He is on down. Like, if you're looking at the, and the house is kind of long, but not really long. Like, I'd say normal. Looking, it looks like a split level house. Maybe I'm not sure. You can. There's all the footage of this house. It's not that far from the road, really, relatively speaking. The driveway is going to be on the right, and he is way on down from the house on the left. So he's not right in front of the house. He's past the front of the house. So he would have had to. I guess the argument is that he was maybe running after her, walking after her, or just deciding he's going to walk home, which he could not have walked home. They're not that far from each other from the house and his house, but in this weather.
And so maybe she threw it in reverse and
she would have had to go way down the road and then decide and zoom way back down the road.
Make that sound again.
Zoom. Okay. Or if you were beaten up in a fight.
Stumbling around.
I don't know. Or you're hit in the driveway and the dog drug you that far, but there's not any evidence of that because of the snow.
Or you're fighting in the house and someone takes you and throws you into the...
I mean, yeah, so many different things. I don't know.
But the defense is, you know...
What about the other people? There's 11 people there.
Well, they're all related.
It's going to be... But even though they are, it's hard to keep 11 people
quiet on the same story.
That has been the argument,
too. But maybe not enough time has passed for that yet.
They were all interviewed together.
Together?
They're like one by one interviewed, but all at the house, not at the station.
Good Lord.
Well, here we go again with confirmation bias. You think, we know how this happened. I'm walking through the necessary steps so I can no pun intended, check all the boxes on my investigation protocol. Well,
you know,
but
we saw
I'm
the
just
text message.
Sleeping.
Yeah, we saw the text message from Proctor to his sister, like, I got to interview Brian and Julie. Yeah. You know, they were.
Yeah, just going through the motions because I already know what happened.
And it's very interesting. His sister reached out to him about it, right? So. If someone has never talked to me about a case or has the reputation of they're a vault, I would not even think to reach out to that person and ask them about whether they're related to me or not.
Well, it's his sister, though, so maybe they have a history of...
I was just going to say whether they were related to me or not.
Yeah, but maybe that's his one outlet. Maybe they have a special pact. You're my sister. I can trust you. If I ever have something that's bugging me in one of these investigations or I just need to get something off my chest,
but at that point,
you're my fault.
But at that point, I'll reach out to you. She's reaching out to him.
Yeah, I get
She's
it.
Asking
I'm just trying to explain it.
Which is strange to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. My brother has a secret job with a security clearance for the government.
How many times do you text him and ask him for information about that?
Never.
Zero.
I did ask him. On the phone, we were talking on the phone when that big CloudStrike thing happened. I got stuck in the airport because I was going to see him. He works in cybersecurity.
Yeah.
I said, I thought you might have some inside information for me. He said, no.
No. Can't help you. He said, have fun at the airport.
He said, I thought you might get stuck there all day.
So he knew it was coming.
But
like that's
but you didn't but, get but a that, warning. You didn't get anything. Right. Like, no,
and that's I don't know if he knows that or I don't know if he knew anything or not.
Yeah, like right
because I don't know.
But that was a flat out no.
He doesn't tell me about. I don't know. What he and does the only, for a living, I don't know.
Right, and the only reason you reached out to him is because you were stuck in the airport
and I was going
you
to see him
and we're headed and to, see him. Hey, I'm not going to be there.
Yeah, it wasn't like it had nothing to do with you, and you just reached out to him for information.
Yep,
which is what has happened in this situation.
Yep.
Which is weird.
She's just a nosy sister with a brother in the police department.
What it shows me is this is not the first time that this has happened.
Yeah. He's very, He's don't say anything. But even extra. He probably says that every time. Don't say nothing, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you automatically find yourself judging an individual when they do that to you? Like, have you ever had that happen? When someone shares something with you that they're not supposed to, and they go, don't say anything. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you automatically think?
I automatically think, I can't tell that person
a secret. I can't tell you a thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I got a couple of people like that in my life, and I know who I can share something private with and it be kept where it belongs.
And they don't have to like tell you that. You just know that that's about them.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly right.
Mm-hmm. That's, I'm sorry, that was a side road there, but I was just wondering if I was
the only one
that does that judges, you know.
Yeah.
I've had friends who worked in law enforcement, didn't know anything about their, you know, we've had Stacy on the show, Stacy Smith, who is the Marine Police.
If that's her real name.
It sounds like an alias, doesn't it? Yeah. But never, you know, she and I have been friends for years, and she was in law enforcement for years, and never.
Yeah.
Didn't even ask. Knew not to. Wouldn't even.
So in a good cop, bad cop scenario, in a witness interview room, Stacy would be the good cop.
I don't know. I don't know enough. I mean, you know, we didn't. And she was Marine Police, so I don't know that a lot of that happened.
So they're just. It was just dunking of heads underwater. That was their torture method of choice.
I don't know.
She'll never tell us. We'll never find out.
No, I don't know because she has integrity. Mm-hmm. So.
What do y'all think?
I don't know. I'd like to read a book about it and learn a little bit more about the evidence. But I mean,
there's going to be a Netflix documentary coming out. That's kind of also why I wanted to do it now because I wanted to do it before the Netflix documentary.
But is
comes.
It going to be propaganda like the Making a Murderer?
Maybe. I don't know.
Because if you don't know by now that that's straight up propaganda, you missed it.
Just hopefully it's somebody who when they do documentaries, they do them right down the middle. And let you decide.
Yes.
Well, I'll give my thoughts and then.
Okay.
Yeah, please.
Because you've done this right down the middle. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to think.
I think she was framed.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I'm not convinced that I know what happened, but I don't think that she ran over him with her car. I don't think that the evidence lines up. I don't think that the taillight video, the video I've seen where the taillight was slightly cracked from running into his truck, matches up with the total destroyed taillight that you see later on. That there is blood on the pieces on the ground, but there's no blood on the actual taillight that's left on the vehicle. That his injuries, the experts are saying, don't line up with being hit with a vehicle. They say that he should have more injuries to his sternum and like his abdomen.
Yeah, definitely. I was waiting on that from you when you were going
not
over the
his,
evidence.
Not his head and blacked eyes. It just doesn't.
If he was run over, his body would be crushed.
Well, if his head was run over by that, it would be more than that damage, wouldn't it? I don't know.
Yes, right. They're not saying that she backed over. They're saying that her car hit him and threw him into the yard. And she
hit him in the face.
Right, exactly. Like, her vehicle doesn't check out with his injuries. His head probably, I don't know exactly.
He'd have to be on his knees.
Right. I think his head would have either been at the top of the vehicle or, like, I guess they're saying that the arm was the break of the taillight because it slashed. I think it looks like it was something else. I don't know if it was a dog or not.
His dog.
Kelly showed me the photograph of his arm injuries.
It doesn't look like an animal thing. No. I don't know, but experts are saying that it does. So, I'm not an... We're your local team of experts, but we're not an expert on this.
In name only are we experts. Yeah.
And you sell your house and rehome your dog that you've had for years.
That's
suspicious.
The selling the house, I guess I could get more than the rehoming of the dog.
Why are you going to rehome your dog?
Well, if they moved somewhere that pets aren't allowed.
But they were homeowners.
Another home?
Well, if he sold this one.
They're homeowners, though.
But he sold this house.
Yeah, but
I'm
did
sure
he
if
buy
they sold
house?
It, they bought another one.
Yeah, okay. Well.
But, and.
Were they downsizing to an economy apartment?
Were they afraid that if they thought that the dog had anything to do with it, they would put the dog down? Because, you know, that's a thing.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, if your dog is proven to injure other people, you don't get a choice.
But I think
they will put your dog down.
Boston cop probably could get around that, too, if they could get around all
I mean,
it.
Yeah, if you're going to get, that'd be easier to get around than.
This guy's a police officer.
Yeah.
And just the text messages are horrible when they were doing the investigation. I believe that they thought she would confess or not confess, but plead out to a lesser charge to get this over with. I don't think they realized how much money she had to fight this because it's cost her a ton of money. Anybody with less money would not have been able to fight this like
no.
she has.
Yeah. No.
And I believe things like this do happen.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we've talked about it many times here on this podcast.
If the West Memphis Three had her money, they would have never served any time.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think she's been framed.
Well, I can't wait to see how this all pans out.
Scott, what do you think?
I've got to turn Netflix back on again, is what I think. I just finally canceled Netflix.
I don't know when it's coming out.
Well, let me know because I'm going to have to turn it back on and check it out.
But what... How are you leaning? Guilty or not?
Not
if you're,
guilty.
If you're on the jury,
not
you,
guilty.
That's
because you haven't proven to me that she is.
Yeah, I gotta and check. That's, not guilty.
That's the That's the bar to clear.
I gotta check that box.
At the very least, I don't think it's proven beyond a reasonable doubt.
No,
I have reasonable doubt, and I definitely understand there should have been a mistrial based on the investigator. I would think.
My favorite meme now is this person in court, and it's like, my client probably did it, but probably is not good enough. So.
Yeah.
That's like, right.
It's just like there's no way this is proven beyond a reasonable doubt.
No.
What's the saying? It's better to let 10 guilty men go free than to put one innocent man in jail.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I believe that.
Yeah. That's
I don't know.
That's why we have the justice system.
Oh, no, no, absolutely. Yeah, you're right. I don't
faults,
want anybody innocent
the best
going to
is.
Jail. Yeah. Gosh, that is a strange.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see what happens.
I know, we'll do an update next year.
So since that's been denied, when is this new trial?
January 27th.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll expect some updates then, Katie.
Yeah. All right, then.
Wow. All right, we'll check this out. We'll let you know once we know when that Netflix documentary is going to be
out.
Yeah,
let me know because I got to turn Netflix back on.
You can check that out. Well, thank you, Katie. You did a great job today. Mm-hmm. I'm baffled and confused.
Yep, that's par for the course here at True Crime on Easy Street for all of us. Guys, don't forget to say something nice about us on your podcast platform of choice. Give us a shout out on Facebook.
Yep.
And let us know what your name is, and we will give you a shout out on this show. Mm-hmm. If we don't hear from you, shout down coming.
Yeah.
And that goes for all of you out there who are listening or not. Is that it, guys? Are we done?
Yeah,
that's it.
Good night, everybody.